This podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Choose from over 85,000 titles and get a free audiobook download at audibletrial.com/Bobby Blackwolf. More information after the midpoint break. Fez has warped, twisted, and challenged my mind. Let's talk about some of it. Plus, source code to an old classic has been released, and I bet you don't know how to read it. Tonight is April 22nd, 2012, and the Bobby Blackwolf Show featuring your calls and chat comments is up next. Okay, I'll let you go. You talk. Wow, what happened to your voice? Thank you, Skype. So, video games, that's what the show is about.
This is Edwin Akeriper from Sweden.
And what's with all the Halo hate, Bob? You've been hating on Halo a lot lately.
I just don't like shooters. I'm not saying it's a bad game, I just don't like it. Billy O.K. says he can't be seen in public playing games that aren't hardcore. What would people say? And what up, G and Chad is once again talking about wrestling. That's why it's not because they hate the fans, it's more because they have to start from scratch.
Hogwash later.
From a little room in Atlanta, Georgia, Bobby Blackwolf.
Wait a minute, I mentioned Fez and everybody leaves? What's wrong with you people? You want me to talk about the Mass Effect 3 ending some more? I get it. Hello, everybody, and welcome to yet another edition of the Bobby Blackwolf Show, where we discuss the current news affecting the video game industry, as well as sometimes, like tonight, reminisce about gaming's history. My name is Bobby Blackwolf. If you are joining us live here on All Games Radio, hello, welcome. Head on over to our chat room. chat.allgames.com. That is where I'll be reading intelligent comments from chat throughout the night. And a little bit later on, I'm going to be opening up our Skype line and our toll-free number for you to call in. Bobby Blackwolf Show, all one word, or toll-free in North America, 1-888-36-GAME-1. Or you can contact me through my website, bobbyblackwolf.com. So Fez, the little indie game that has been in development for like 8,000 years... developed by a guy with very strong opinions that people don't like. The lead developer thinks that the entire country of Japan sucks. And so he has riled up a lot of people who don't want to like his game. His name is Phil Fish. He has a lot of strong opinions, just like Jonathan Blow. Except Jonathan Blow, who made Braid, is a little bit more eloquent. I guess that's the difference. But anyway, the game itself was done by a team of small people, released just on Xbox Live Arcade because it was made in XNA. So that's why you don't see it on, like, the PS3 or, you know, they could release it for PC, but it is not a PC game. It is a console game, partially because I think the game would be a little bit easier on PC because you're closer to the screen. So Fez is 800 space bucks, or 10 bucks, and it is you play the part of Gomez, a 2D thing that lives in a 3D world, but he's only in 2D, so he can only be in one of the cardinal directions at a time. And usually, like, everybody he knows is in one specific direction. And because the universe is about to die and go away, he gets given a magic fez, because fezes are cool. And that allows him to rotate his perspective 90 degrees. So now you have all four cardinal directions, and you go through, you're trying to collect cubes and anti-cubes to reconstruct and allow the universe to continue. And you're guided along by a 4D Tesseract, which is essentially it is a 4D Tesseract is like a 3D cube, except it's in four dimensions. And basically, the geometry, I always tell the geometry wrong, but basically, when you look at a cube on like a TV screen, that's a projection of the cube onto of a 3D object onto a 2D space. A tesseract is the projection of a 4D cube onto a 3D space, which is then projected on a 2D space. But anyway, that's the object that you keep seeing. But it's a really neat game, and it's one of those where it's like the old days where you have these puzzles and you have no clue how to solve them. And you really have to work at it. Now, unfortunately, actually what this does is that this even takes into account the fact that GameFAQs exists. So it does things that, you know, okay, yeah, sure, you could look up the solution on GameFAQs, but you still have to do work to complete the puzzle, to open up certain areas. I mean, and a lot of it is like strict platforming. You can actually complete the first part of the game. You can actually get 100% by not really worrying about any of the weird puzzles and just doing the platforming elements. You can actually do that. It would take a while. but you can actually get there by just collecting all the regular cubes, which are not that difficult. But it gets to the point when you're trying to collect these anti-cubes that you actually have puzzles, and there is actually an alphabet in the game and a numbering system in the game that in the game you actually learn about it later on in the game. If you can, if you spend time like staring at a chalkboard in a school, they actually have the alphanumeric symbol, or they actually have the numbering system there. And then there's another room where it's, you can kind of try to figure out, you know, if you're good at cryptology, you can actually get the code. You can figure out what they're saying in the code, and then you can start deciphering the alphabet. Now, other people on GameFAQs have already done a lot of the work and a lot of the translation of a lot of the sentences in the game. But what's interesting about this is that there is one puzzle at the very end, and this is kind of what blew me away, was, you know, how the community handled this. There was one puzzle at the very end. It's a monolith. There's no spoiler because it doesn't actually contribute to the story at all, apparently. But nobody could figure out the solution to this for like 6 days. And it was basically trying to find like really obscure references in the game. You know, there was like a flashing light sequence you had to decipher. There's other texts that you have to decipher, and it's all gibberish, so you have to figure out how to read it. And it's more like trying to read the text in 3D instead of 2D. I was reading a little bit about it, and even I don't understand it. And most people that will probably get that final anti-cube probably have no clue how they got it. But they'll just look it up online now that the solution is up there. But when I was actually going through the game, I've only gotten 100% through the game. Now, there's a total of 209.3% of this game. I've gotten through 100% of it, which means that I've actually gone through and seen the first ending. And then there's a new game plus where they give you one other power that helps decipher some clues. And then you go through and you get the rest of the cubes. You don't start over. You still have everything you already had, and your map is still there. But it plays with your mind. And you start thinking about things in, you know, oh, okay, you know, now I could just go to the next perspective. And you start dreaming about it a couple times. I did have a few Fez dreams. It's a lot more puzzle-ish than, you know, like Portal or Braid, because this makes you think a lot more because it puts a lot of cryptography in it, and cryptology, I guess. They actually have, you'll see things in it that look like Tetris blocks. And once you know what those Tetris blocks mean and how to decipher them, then you can, you know, start uncovering some of the puzzles in the game. You know, some of the puzzles are actually figuring out the cryptography of the Tetris blocks. And it's a real neat brain exercise, and obviously now you can just go to, you know, GameFAQs and figure it out for yourself or look on YouTube. The game itself is not really terribly difficult on the platforming side. There are a few. There's one stage I haven't completed because I can't get up to the top in time. Basically, lava rises, and you just have to keep going up, and that includes, you know, changing your perspective to get up to the next ladder, because like you may not be able to reach that platform on the perspective you're on, but you change once and then you can reach it, and you're constantly having to do that. And there's one that's kind of like the only like twitchy thing that I haven't been able to complete was that one stage. But most of it is puzzles and just trying to figure out how to get the cube that you know is there. SG in chat says it's more puzzle than platform. It really is, but there are platforming elements to get the regular cubes. That's all platforming. It's the anti-cubes that are all puzzles, and there's 32 of each of them. There are puzzles that, you know, are strictly based on, you know, like the system clock. There actually was one puzzle, which was a QR code. So you had to get a smartphone, and you took a picture of the QR code, and then it told you the button combination that you needed to press. So it does things like that, and apparently even the soundtrack, which was just released for $7 by Disasterpiece at disasterpiece.com, they actually have hints in the soundtrack, as in you have to get like this, like it's not the waveform that you have to look at, but it's like the spectral vision or something. And they actually have pictures, and they have a QR code in there that has years in it. And there's just a lot of weird stuff that they've put in there, and we don't know if it has anything to do with Fez or not. But there's even hints in the soundtrack, possibly relating to the final puzzle, which has finally been cracked. It took him, I think, a week to crack the final puzzle. DR4EV asks, is it as challenging as Echo Chrome? Echo Chrome was just the manipulation of the 3D space. That's all Echo Chrome was. This is that plus figuring out these puzzles and figuring out the alphabet and knowing the alphabet, knowing what words you need to create to make the cube appear. And that has nothing to do with the perspective change. Sometimes it does, but sometimes it doesn't. And so it's I would say they're different games. Because Echo Chrome is, you change the perspective and you have people walking along and you're trying to, get them to the finish line without hitting the bad guys or falling off. Whereas this, you're using the perspective to change areas. There really isn't, there's no death. Like, if you fall to your death, you reappear right where you fell. There is absolutely no penalty for exploration or trying something multiple times. I never got stuck somewhere. So they're completely different. I would say that, Fez is more mind-bending, but it's for more reasons than just the rotation of the environment. And, in fact, the stuff that racked my brain the most had absolutely nothing to do with the rotation of the environment, whereas Echo Chrome is all about the rotation of the environment. Eric K. says, I don't have a smartphone, time to hit game facts. I did read something from one of the developers that the QR code, there are a couple QR codes in the game, but there's one directly tied to getting an anti-cube. They say that the solution is actually there as well. It's just harder to decipher. So the easy way is to get a smartphone and get that QR code, or, the harder solution is some other solution that I don't know because I use the QR code. So I don't know how you would get to the other solution. There may be something in that room elsewhere that has, something where you can decipher the button combination. But it is solvable without having a smartphone. That's according to the developers. Hex says, if I don't know the alphabet, would this be a good game for me? I don't really know the alphabet either. You won't know, and I'm not even going to say the backstory because it's all, even when you do know the alphabet and you're reading some of the text that people say, they're saying kind of gibberish type stuff. They're not like letting you into the world of lore. You actually have to really kind of try to read between the lines. But no, you don't, because you don't actually know the alphabet until you get to near close to 100%. When you get to that part of the world. The hardest part about Fez to me was trying to figure out trying to remember how to get places. There is a map, but it's a 3D map that has basically just a bunch of leaves on it and, things that branch off from others. And so trying to figure out, okay, which door goes to that leaf so I can get to this area, that was actually kind of difficult. And it turns out, I actually completed the game without even making it to one whole area of stuff. So, it's you can get kind of lost. Now, every time you go, you walk up to a door that you've been through before, the Tesseract will show what's in it. So you can, and that's the same image that's on the map. So you can, you don't have to walk through every door to be able to see what's in it. But it does take some getting used to try to figure out how to get from one place to another. The only thing that bothers me in Fez that I don't like about it is after you've been in a room a couple times, what happens is the universe is collapsing, and these black holes show up. And if you touch these black holes, you die. And you have to try to get around them if they show up in that room, and sometimes they even show up right in the place where you need to jump to get to the other side. And there's no way around them. And it's the reason I find them annoying is because if you leave the room and then come back, there's a chance those black holes won't be there. They only show up when you first enter a room, so you can always just keep going in and out to get through them. But it's just, if it's that easy to get rid of the black holes, why even have them in there? Because it doesn't add anything but a challenge that may be insurmountable until they go away. Mako in chat, who actually, he has actually completed, I think he said he got all 209%. He's even gotten the final monolith one. He said he completed to 100%, which is getting through to the end of the the first game, and then before you get to New Game Plus, without the sewer area, found that last, and mine was blown. And I think mine was the graveyard area. That was the part I hadn't gotten to yet, was the part that looks like graveyard. There are jokes about computers all through the thing. You will see, you know, things that look like your Xbox is crashing. It's not as bad as like Eternal Darkness on the GameCube, which would actually make the sound of you're rebooting your GameCube and that you lost your save game. It doesn't do that, but it does do some things that, you know, make it look like it's a computer world, and there's a whole bunch of ASCII text flying around that's blocking your way. And so it actually has some kind of funny moments in it and some really neat moments. It's got a great chiptune soundtrack by Disasterpiece. Disasterpiece.com. You can get the soundtrack for $7. And if you want to try to look at the internals of the music, you'll actually see like pictures of presidents and things like that. Breakman in chat says, black holes cause death? Not according to the Disney movie I saw. In this one, because you just get sucked out into them and then you just reappear right next to them. It's more annoying than anything else. And there is no achievement for making it through the entire game without dying, so you don't have to worry about that. Havoc978 says, at what percentage do you get to the inverted Dracula's castle? It all depends on where you go. There is no... I mean, the only thing that you get stopped at going... There's a couple doors that you can't open until you get 4 cubes, 8 cubes, or 16 cubes. But other than that, you can go anywhere as long as you go through the right door. I'm guessing that maybe the inverted Dracula's castle that he's talking about is actually in the area that I actually have not explored yet. Whereas Mako probably explored it pretty early on in his game. He might have gone through that door pretty early. So there is no path for you to take. It's more like an open world. You don't need... You can solve every puzzle at the beginning of the game. You know, there is nothing stopping you other than there's these doors you can't go through until you have so many cubes. That's it. So I really like it. It is probably going to be my, it's definitely going to be my indie game of the year because, you know, this is going to be kind of like this year's, you know, Braid or Limbo, or it's going to be that game that people are, going to be talking about and about the indie game revolution. It's only $10. Havoc978 says, Fez has an inverted Dracula's castle confirmed. There's a place that looks like it would be. So, like I said, I haven't been there, but it could be there. I don't know. I know there's clocks and others and telescopes and observatories and a lot of stuff that I actually haven't found yet because it's all in that area. So Fez, I think it's very worth the $10. I think it said that I've played it like 8 hours already, and I'm only halfway through, even though I've completed the game, quote unquote. I'm halfway through. I've just started New Game Plus, and I think it took me about 8 hours, and that's with going through and using GameFAQs for some stuff. So the other thing that came out this week that unfortunately I thought I was going to spend more time with, and I didn't, Diablo 3 is having an open beta right now, if you're listening live, until like midnight tonight. It started Friday, and I did download the Diablo 3 client, and I went through the first dungeon, or the first real quest before you go back to the city. And it's the Diablo I remember. It was never really a big Diablo player. I do know it's, you know, clicky the pen, the game, pretty much, because that's all you do is you click on things a lot, rapidly. But I didn't get to play it all that much because, you know, even though I was playing it single player, obviously you have to be connected to the Battle.net servers. And as it is a stress test beta, they found that they couldn't handle the stress, which is exactly what the beta test is for. So they limited the amount of logins that could log into the Diablo 3 stress test beta, causing massive uproar and rage across the internet. Oh, heaven forbid Blizzard not let me play the free game that they're letting me play for 3 days, because Blizzard capped the amount of people that could log into the server, even if they were just playing single player. So are we still happy that you can have to connect to Blizzard servers to play your single player game? So I would say more about Diablo 3, but like I said, I probably only played it for like an hour, and I was never able to get in since, and I've had, you know, I was out all day yesterday and could not play it, and didn't really have a chance to today. I may try to get it tonight with OLR in the background. I don't know. But It's Diablo. It had colors in it, though, so you may not want to pick it up if you like colors, because it was not all drab. It actually had bright colors in it. Going back to Fez, Burr says, I hear Fez is really buggy. We talked about it last week. Can't be game of the year and be that buggy. It actually never bugged out for me. There was one bug, and that was after I completed the game. It did crash back to the Xbox dashboard before I could go do the New Game Plus, but it didn't, like, all I had to do was reload it, and then I was able to get into the New Game Plus. Back to Diablo, Breakman says, what character did I use? I made a warrior, which is your standard noob class, and so I was, you know, just bashing undead repeatedly with the left mouse button, sometimes then bashing them again with the right mouse button to do more damage. And then I was bashing them with the left mouse button some more. And then eventually I was able to press 1 and stun a lot of them so I could bash at them some more with the left mouse button. ActDeft is as if it has ponies. I did not see any undead ponies yet. What OG says, the game comes out May 15th, correct? It does, May 15th. But it ran great on my computer, so that's good. So if I do pick it up on May 15th, which I might. It depends on the money situation. It will be a lot of fun to play. And maybe we could all play together. Since we have to be online anyway, might as well, you know, all of us play Clicky the Pen the game. Just all of us together. Go mash some zombies together. Alvin Anagram, going back to Fez. There's a little bit of a lag in chat, so some people are still talking about Fez. I have the Halo Reach 360 console, and Fez has choppy frame rate for me, and I even deleted the system cache. And that actually, now that he says that, I did actually start getting choppy frame rate, and I went out and deleted the system cache and, you know, rebooted, you know, turned off the Xbox and turned it back on, and then the choppy frame rate went away. But then again, I also have one of the 360Ss, so I've got a more recent 360. Breakman says about Diablo, Bobby bashes undead with his mighty warrior. The dead fall to his massive banhammer. If I could rename the hammer that I was wielding the banhammer, I would have. I so would have. So let's get to some news real quick. How about that? Gamma Sutra reports that Red Link's Trials Evolution has set a new record for highest grossing day one sales on Xbox Live Arcade. Not Fez? Trials? Game about a motorcycle? Excitebike 360? And it has sold more than 100,000 copies in its first day after releasing. It's a follow-up to 2009's popular Trials HD. This new release sells for 1,200 space bucks, or $15, meaning the downloadable game has grossed at least $1.5 million in just 24 hours. It was published by Microsoft Studios and released as a part of Arcade Next, one of several annual Xbox Live Arcade campaigns that feature standout titles, so they tend to get more downloads than those released outside of campaigns. Initial demand for the new game was so high, Microsoft was forced to add more servers to accommodate all the users playing the game. According to Red Links on the tweet, quote, we apologize for the leaderboard issues in the past hours. The servers were getting overloaded, but Microsoft has put up new hardware, unquote. Leaderboards for Trials Evolution recorded 120,000 users playing the game just a day after its release and around 180,000 playing on its second day. So congrats to Trials Evolution. You know, I played the Trials HD demo, and it didn't really do it for me personally, but that doesn't necessarily mean it's a bad game. It just maybe means I'm a bad gamer. But congrats to them for actually making it on Xbox Live Arcade. So something else is coming out for a handheld console. There was a Nintendo earnings call this week, and Destructoid reports that on April 25th, that's coming up soon, the 3DS will receive a new firmware update. The biggest significance feature of this update is something you've been able to do on the iPhone for quite some time, a new file management system that allows you to move software on your home menu into individual folders. This has been a long request for Wii owners, but it never came to pass. So basically now, because like since I'm a 3DS ambassador, I have all these virtual console games now on my home screen, and I have to scroll all the way through to see them. So now I can actually just create a folder and put them in there. It probably took them like a whole like 4 hours to code. But they did it. Also, new Super Mario Bros. 2 is coming out in August. That also came out on the call, so a new Super Mario Brothers, which I guess this is going to be more the 2D variety rather than the 3D Land variety. That's going to be coming out in August, and it will sell a million units, and it will push 3DSs. And then people are going to say, Vita what? Yeah. I haven't touched my Vita that much. It started to collect dust already. It's kind of sad. So in this last bit of news, this is more about old stuff, and it's geeky stuff I like. And it's about an old game that's had its source code released, and it's really neat to look through. Ars Technica reports that the source code of the classic Apple II game Prince of Persia has been published on GitHub by Jordan Mechner, the original author. The game, which was first published by Broderbund in 1989, remember them, Broderbund, with the zero is the O? Yeah. Was developed in 6502 assembly with the help of Apple II enthusiast Tony Diaz, or Diaz, I don't know how to pronounce that word anymore. The code is recovered recently from a 22-year-old floppy disk. There is still hope for my Commodore 64 disk because we never put them in an attic. If we can recover stuff from a 22-year-old floppy disk in this day and age, I may be able to find those programs I wrote when I was 4 and then never do anything with them. In addition to releasing the original code, Mechner has also published a 30-page reference document from October 1989 that describes some of the game's underlying technical details. At the time, the document was written for the benefit of developers who were porting the game to other platforms. Now, although the source code of the game is now available to study, modify, and run, it's technically not open source software. Ubisoft still holds exclusive distribution rights for the franchise. The code is being made available largely for historical purposes. So it's really interesting if you want to know like the guts of how games were made. This is about basically as low level as you can get. A lot of the stuff that games are made in, like XNA, is a very high level language, which means you don't have to worry about a lot of stuff. Whereas a low-level language like 6502 assembly, you are directly dealing with the registers that are on the motherboard, and you are directly handling putting stuff on the screen. You are directly handling making sound come out of the computer and exactly what sounds you want to have come out of the computer. It's all direct, whereas, you know, when you're in XNA, if you want to make an object move, you call the move my object thing function that then will call that then basically underneath it has a little bit lower level function, and eventually it does get down to the 65 or to the assembly, not necessarily the 6502, but the assembly code that deals directly with the registers. But Prince of Persia was written, like most games back in that era, directly with the motherboard and the hardware that was of the Apple II. And they dealt directly with the registers. Memory management was direct. They wrote directly to what little bits of memory they had. They cleaned up after themselves, the garbage collector. They had to write all that themselves. Whereas nowadays, we have the compiler doing that for us. This was, in going through it, there's a lot of lines of code in there just to play Prince of Persia. That was something that was real neat for me to go back and read through that. Because, I mean, I know how to read some assembly code. I've never really done much with assembly code, and it was IBM PC assembly. It wasn't necessarily like Apple II or Commodore 64. All my Commodore 64 stuff was in BASIC, which is a high-level language. I never wrote assembly for Commodore 64 either. I wrote MLX, if anybody remembers that. But that was also copied from a magazine, all the numbers and everything. God, the days. Those were the days. So, check that out. It's on GitHub, which is where a lot of open source projects are and stuff like that. And check that out if you want to look back in time. I think master.s, that's your start file. So if you want to start somewhere, start in master.s if you're looking at the source code. So we're going to take a quick music break, and then we're going to take your calls here on the Bobby Blackwell Show. And, you know, you can talk about anything. Maybe you played the Diablo 3 beta more than I did and want to talk about it, or you want to tell me why I'm wrong about Fez or why you tuned out when I was talking about Fez. But yeah, we'll be right back for that. You're listening to the Bobby Blackwell Show on All Games Radio, online at allgames.com.
You're listening to the Bobby Blackwell Show on allgames.com. Woohoo! It's a number one.
Chat about video game radio was number one.
I'm number one. The heck with everybody else. You're listening to the great radio show. Now have a rotten day.
Welcome back to the Bobby Blackwell Show right here on All Games Radio. Mario from E3 2006, back when I was allowed to go to E3. That was those were the days. Charles Martinet doing that while I was waiting in line to see the Wii. Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you a chance to check out their service. You can get a 30-day free trial, get a free audiobook, and it's yours to keep even if you cancel before the trial is over. They've got a whole bunch of books on there, lots of them. Some of them you probably even want to hear because, I mean, really, you don't want to read anymore. You want things told to you. I mean, it's the video game generation. Come on. So you can make something your free audiobook. All you got to do is go to audibletrial.com/BobbyBlackWolf. So the phones are now open. You can call in Bobby Blackwell Show on Skype, 1-888-36-GAME-1, toll-free in North America. You can call in and talk about anything in the gaming industry if you want to talk more about Fez, talk about, you know, generally some of the puzzles. There's really not much to spoil in Fez. I mean, we don't want to give the solutions to the puzzles, but, you know, there's really not much of a story to solve in Fez. There is a backstory that you can decipher, but we can talk about that, or you can talk about, you know, what you liked in the first 13 levels of Diablo 3, because that's what we could do this past weekend, which you can still do for a couple more hours. I'm sure that I lost like maybe one or two callers. They like, oh, I'm going to go play Diablo 3 now. We do have a call here on the line. Bobby Blackwell Show, you are on the air. Who is this?
Hi, are you sure you don't want that mobile programming job?
I'm positive I don't need that mobile programming job, but thank you, though.
Oh, damn. No, it's Mako from JAD.
So, you still like Fez?
Yes. Aside from the lava room, for want of a better phrase.
Which is the one I was talking about, where the lava goes up
and
follows
you?
Yeah.
And what's even worse is I spent about an hour last night failing at it, and then thought, might as well take a break from this, and went off and played Trials Evolution.
I'm sorry.
That
probably wasn't going to help you.
It wouldn't, no. Went off, played Trials Evolution, went to sleep. This morning woke up, well, this afternoon woke up, played with it for about an hour, and, managed to do it, which is good.
That's good. But, and so you've even, like, solved, like, the big monolith thing, too?
That's the thing. I haven't actually seen a monolith.
I've seen it. I've seen the room.
Are you talking about the? And I'm going to have to be cryptic here. Are we talking about the room which is the sunken door below the pyramid with the tree on top?
I don't know. It's basically a room. It's got like a black monolith from 2001, like in the center of it. And it's like there's nothing else in that room except that monolith.
I really cannot remember seeing a monolith. I remember there's things like the security.
Yeah, the security question. Quote unquote.
Oh, that one.
No, that's different.
Yeah, that's fun. But no, I haven't actually seen a monolith unless I've somehow managed to do something which means I've actually completed that bit without actually realizing it.
I don't think so. Because it's like apparently it's huge. Like I was reading something, it's like there's a 2-page article on Ars Technica about the community coming together and like brute forcing this thing to try to figure out, and it took them 6 days. For the community to figure it out. And it's like, the first two pieces are dumb luck. The third piece of it is not. You can't do it by dumb luck.
Okay, I'm going to have to read that up, because
even the Ars Technica article actually has a picture of the room, so you can see if you've actually been in it or not.
Give me a second.
Google is a wonderful thing.
Google is a very wonderful thing.
Breakman asks, are these spoilers? Not really. I mean, you know, yes, there are puzzles in the game, but like, it's not like we're going to spoil the story. It's, you know, not like Washed Eyes or something like that. Which would be really sad if that actually happened.
Oh, wait. So, yeah. Okay, I've got to the bottom of the article. I've seen the image at the bottom.
Yeah.
And I've seen the image at the bottom.
Okay.
But I've not seen the monolith.
It's very dark black in the middle.
Yeah. That room, I don't remember seeing that room at the top of the article. But the one at the bottom where there's the image... am I even going to be allowed to say what the image is at the bottom of the article, what is published? The one with the heart, I've seen that.
Right. Okay.
I spent a good 3 minutes trying to collect the heart, thinking it's another cube.
Oh, okay.
And then thinking, no, I'm being thick here. But, yeah, I've seen that. I just haven't seen the monolith bit.
Yeah, that's a very interesting article about, you know, how the community banded together to try to piece this together and... It took like 6 days of like the entire community brute forcing it to figure it out.
What?
It's real interesting. And okay. That's what I like about Fez, is that something like that can still happen in this day and age. Like, there is a puzzle so hard that it actually takes the world 6 days working together to complete the puzzle and to figure out the answer.
What, you mean like in Ready Player One, the book by Clint or Klein, whatever his name is, where the entire population is trying to solve this big in-game mystery?
Yep.
Oh, if only I knew about the monolith before actually doing it.
Anything else on your mind, man?
I love the bits to what with Trials.
Mm-hmm. Trials.
Yeah, with Trials. Complete change here.
It's just as maddening.
Just as maddening, just as controller throwing worthy at times. I love the indie game bits or the little hints at other subjects later on in the game. I don't really think I could actually call any of it spoilers, but there's levels based upon Limbo.
You're right, right.
Which is fantastic. Mm-hmm. There's one which is heavily influenced by Inception. Which is just fantastic. And I can't believe that they managed to get a game editor where they have... they've made a mini game which is just a ball rolling a ball along a load of platforms. And they made that with the in-game editor. Mm. Bearing in mind what the game is, which is a guy on a bike.
Right.
And hurting himself.
And going right and conquering, yes.
Yeah. And then they make this game where you are a ball. That's just fantastic. I'm just surprised that is a downloadable title, the amount of content in it, quite frankly.
I think what it shows is that people will pay a reasonable price for great content.
Which is, well, quite frankly, a change for the video game industry at times.
I know. Yeah. Imagine that. People will pay $15 for great content.
Yeah, instead of paying, what, £30 for Leisure Suit Larry Magna Cum Laude?
Yes.
Which I sadly bought.
I'm sorry. Al Lowe had nothing to do with it. Why'd you buy it?
Because I was extremely overtired and I could remember my PIN number for my credit card at the time.
Well, anyway, we're going to let you go. Thanks so much for calling in, man.
Okay, I'm going to try and work out what the hell I did to miss that monolith.
There you go.
Okay, take enjoy care. And save time buying tons of car insurance or there. Whatever.
Mako switches to Geico. We are back. Bobby Blackwell Show on Skype, 1-888-36-GAME-1, toll-free in North America. You can call in. Somebody else was trying to call in. Just barely missed it. We're ready for him now. Or anybody else that calls in. So we do have another call here on the line. Bobby Blackwell Show, you are on the air. Who is this?
Chugga chugga choo choo, Bobby. It's Jim Sally, man.
Jim Sally, what's up, man?
Listen, man. Listen, we don't got a lot of time today. Look, listen. I was listening to your report and review on the game Fez not too long ago, and I kind of nodded off a little bit, Bobby. Look, that game is a little too. I think it's a little too artsy.
Cerebral.
It's a little too highbrow, almost. You know what I'm saying? Like intellectual. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I kind of like, you know Jim Sally, man. Jim Sally likes his games like he likes his women. Stupid and easy, you know what I'm saying? Stupid and easy.
That speaking explains which, a lot.
Speaking of which, Bobby, again this week on Skyrim, I got another good Skyrim tip for you, Bobby.
Oh, good, good, this? Good.
Ready for this one, yeah. Bobby? Let's say you're going to fight something like a big dragon, and it's just too hard. Like... sometimes the dragons, they come up and they breathe like fire on you. They're hardcore, man. They fly.
Mm-hmm.
There's a switch in the menu that you put it on easy, and then you shoot him once and the balls and he falls and dies.
It's awesome. I play with that on very easy all the time, and everybody looks at me weird.
Why not? You know what, man? It treats yourself, Bobby. That's what if life had an easy button, I'd use it too.
Here's the thing that gets me about that. Even on that, you know, even when I'm doing the, you know, easy or very easy. Because it's a single-player game, so who cares what difficulty I played at.
Yeah, exactly.
The dragon is easier than, like, the undead wizard that pops up from the coffin just after you've beaten the dragon when you go up to the dragon shouts.
Oh, really, eh?
Yeah, it's like he's, like, 10 times harder than the dragon. And I'm like, dude.
That's crazy.
This is not fair.
But, I mean, when they're dumbing it down that much, it must be hard for the programmers, though, right, to catch, like, everything when they're putting it on easy.
Yeah.
Like they probably just tested on normal. I'll give them a pass on that little glitch.
I mean, I still beat the guy, but it took me like 10 times as long to beat the undead guy after I beat the dragon than it did to beat the dragon.
He's already dead, see? Mm-hmm. See what I'm saying?
I know.
That's biology, Bobby.
And it's not like in Diablo where I can just like left click on him multiple times and then sometimes right click.
Oh, Bobby, I can't wait for Diablo 3. I didn't play the beta this weekend because like I knew it was going to be crazy anyway, so I didn't even bother trying to play it, but I can't wait. I can't wait for the left click marathon to come back.
It's right. And you can there's some right clicking involved too, but not as much as the left click.
Listen, Bobby. Hey, I only left click guy. Mm-hmm. I actually just bought a mouse with two left mouse buttons on it.
Really? Okay. So you're Steve Jobs now.
Pretty much, man. Pretty much.
Steve Jobs only believes in one mouse button.
I'm exactly like Steve Jobs.
Exactly.
Only I have more hair, and I wear a white turtleneck when I go out instead of a black one.
Oh.
The same guy. Same guy. So anyway, I'm going to let you go, Bobby, because I bet you there's people that still want to call in.
Okay.
So I'm just going to leave by saying that if you're playing Skyrim and you don't have a lot of money, maybe you're killing too many shopkeepers or not enough.
And there goes the Jim Sally train. We're going to see if anybody else wants to call in tonight. Bobby Blackwell Show on Skype, 1-888-36-GAME-1, toll-free in North America. Fez does make you think. And I can see some people not liking it. And there's, like, very little words in it. And the words that are in it are in this, like, weird cryptographic language that you have to decipher. So I can understand. So I'm going to assume that nobody else wants to call in. So thank you, everybody, for calling in tonight. Coming up next here on All Games Radio is Orange Lounge Radio. It's three people out in Sacramento, California, who are talking about games for a lot longer than I do. And they'll probably be talking a lot about Diablo 3. I don't know. I'll ask them whenever Skype decides that we're going to get together. Here we are. Sacramento, are you guys there?
Hi, we're here, Bobby. How are you?
I'm doing good. So have you played Diablo 3?
I played an earlier version of the beta. Okay. Somehow I was able to get into the beta back in like October. So I played it back then. And okay. I haven't really touched it, to be honest, since then. But I did play the entire campaign to the part where we got the congratulations, you have beat the Diablo 3 beta part.
Oh, okay.
So off topic here a little bit. Did they open the World of Warcraft beta up to everyone?
No, Diablo 3. You're getting your Blizzard properties.
No, but here's
confused.
Weird. I got an invite for the World of Warcraft beta. I'm like, I don't care. I don't play World of Warcraft.
Be careful. It's not a spammy
email. No, it is actually from Blizzard.
Really?
Yeah. Huh. But it was weird. It was just like, I'm like, I don't
care. Do you even have a Battle.net account?
I must. I think I signed up for one a long time ago.
All the annual pass people are in now, but I didn't think they were inviting anyone outside of that. So that's very strange to hear about.
I didn't get an invite, but then again, the World of Warcraft account on my account has been banned.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Because didn't a gold farmer got your account?
Yeah, I had it for StarCraft 2, and I got this email one day. Your World of Warcraft account's been banned. I'm like, oh, this is spam, obviously. So I don't click on any links in that email. I go directly to Battle.net, and sure enough, World of Warcraft Battle Chest was registered to my account and has been banned for being a gold farmer. And then I downloaded the Authenticator app.
Yes, good idea, especially if you're going to continue to play Diablo or anything else on there. I would hope the WoW ban doesn't ruin things, though.
It doesn't. I even like sent a customer service request. They're like, yeah, you could add another WoW account. Don't worry about it. So I could still get like a 14-day free trial. They actually redeemed a battle chest on my account. They didn't use up my trial, which was nice of them.
Well, those gold farmers are pretty ruthless. And, you know, if you've ever bought gold for one of these games, you're supporting that. So might want to think about that.
So have you played Fez or even looked at Fez or know anything about Fez?
And I've been so one-track minded with Mass Effect that I've missed everything about Fez. But the music that you were playing during the break sounded really pretty. It was very pleasant. It sounded very reminiscent of the old 8-bit NES games, some of the jingles I really liked from there. So I need to check it out. I listened to your review earlier and sounds like the type of thing I'd be into.
Yeah, and it's an 8-bit, you know, 8-bit aesthetic and all that stuff. Everybody says it rips off Cave Story, but it was actually one of the first. It's kind of interesting. It was one of the first indie games that really pulled off that 8-bit aesthetic, because like I think in like 2007 is when it won the Independent Games Festival and stuff. It's just never come out until now. So a lot of games since then have ripped off that aesthetic because they were inspired by it at the IGF and have come out. And so now Fez is out, and it's a whole other, you know, oh, Beatmania is a ripoff of Guitar Hero type of thing.
Right.
Where they're claiming Fez ripped off these other guys when actually those other guys saw Fez and got inspired.
Well, yeah, and Cave Story was obviously heavily inspired by a lot of things from the 8-bit era, and I think that's why people love it so much. You
Plus,
know?
Cave Story's been out forever.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know.
But no, it is a cerebral puzzle game. There's a lot of cryptography involved. If you like thinking, I mean, I actually pulled out a pad of paper and was mapping things out. I haven't done that since the 80s.
Wow, that's oh my gosh, I don't know if I would have had the patience for that. I think I would have logged into GameFAQs by then.
Well, it's one of those, like, it's not really mapping out, but because of the way that one of the ways to read things is, you actually have to rotate it and then look at it that way. So it's easier to write it down and then rotate, you know, copy down what you see on the screen and then turn the paper over.
Do you have to dip that piece of paper into water to see
no.
the code that will let you?
That would be awesome, but no. Maybe if it was a retail game and there was actually a code in the box, you know, like back in the day when we would, you know, get other stuff in the box other than just the disc and the manual.
Right.
You know.
They don't even make stinking manuals anymore, like with the Vita games. The Vitas are just that blue box
yeah.
and a little chip in there. It's kind of depressing.
But they have the manual. Like, you can look at the manual in the Vita, and it's still formatted as if it was a little book. And I'm like, if you're gonna make me have an electronic manual, don't make it just like a book. I change the page. Make it Wikipedia-like, where I can click on links and stuff.
Yeah, that's a good suggestion. Which they're probably just, you know, a glorified PDF file. Although even PDF files can have links in them.
Yeah.
So
yes, they can, and can still be a book format and still have working links.
Exactly.
I just made one today.
There you go. So, but yeah, I mean, like, even, you know, most of the a lot of the demos now, this is what gets me about the Vita, is there was a demo for something that had just come out or something, and I was like, oh, okay, I'm going to look at the manual to see something about this. And the book of the manual was like 4 pages long in the Vita, and it said, go to this website. It's for that Bejeweled ripoff.
Oh, jeez.
It's that Bejeweled ripoff, the free game that gives you 5 plays a day or whatever. And I'm like, okay, well, I want to learn what some of this stuff does. So I go into the manual on the Vita, and it's like, okay, you know, health hazard, blah, blah, blah. For the manual, go to this webpage.
I didn't even realize a game like that existed on the Vita. I should probably, like, check my Vita out for something other than Netflix and the copy of Uncharted I have sitting waiting to be played.
Yeah, mine's collecting dust.
I have to get away from Mass Effect to be able to do that, and that's just not going to happen for about another month.
There's also that pinball game.
Yes, well, that's the pinball game that's on 360 and PS3.
PS3, yeah.
What?
There's a new one.
What?
Yeah, it's got, like, licensed tables, like actual licensed tables, like Theater of Magic.
That's on 360.
Yeah, that's 360 and PS3. It's Pinball Arcade.
On all systems.
It's the same people that made the ones that are on the Wii and the 360 anyway. That's just a little more piecemeal. They're just kind of taking the Pinball FX approach with it. Which is fine. And I like that the games can be different. Pinball FX is like the original tables that are built for a, you know, video game console. Mm-hmm. And then this is
I've
more
I've played
the
them all on my PC before with Pin Mame.
Pin Mame is awesome.
See,
Pin Mame is amazing.
Now, that would be the interesting kind of circle of this whole pinball simulation is if we took these original tables and then ported them to Pin Mame or, you know, the pinball emulators that they have like for, what's that really awesome front end that they have? I use it on mine. Hyperpin would be awesome.
One of these days, somebody's going to actually build one of those tables in a physical realm.
I love at California Extreme.
They existed.
They
already.
Somebody put a widescreen TV sideways in a table.
Yeah.
It looks amazing.
Those are
it's the UltraKid people did that.
And what did I play? Pinbot.
Yep.
I played Theater of Magic.
Awesome.
Well, I'm saying, you know, maybe, you know, one of those pinball effects tables that just exist on the Xbox, eventually making that into a real pinball.
Why not?
All right, okay, so I don't know if you've been seeing the commercials for Dave & Buster's, where they're like, check out these awesome new arcade games. You know, all they are is those new cabinets that they have for, like, Fruit Ninja and Infinity Blade
in the
arcade. Why would I do that? Why would I play that? But
why would I want to put my fingers on the same screen that a bunch of other people have put their fingers on?
Especially a place that has like greasy food, you know, that would just be all nasty.
I saw Fruit Ninja Connect at Disneyland in the, I always want to say it's the Exploratorium, but that's not the name of it, the Innovations Building. They have a Fruit Ninja Connect on a 100-foot screen, and they also have, on another screen, Connect Disneyland on the Connect. It's very meta. It's a very meta experience.
Hey, I hear you like Disneyland.
So we got some Disney in your Disney.
So what else are you guys going to be talking about on Orange Lounge Radio tonight?
Well, we were gone last week, obviously, so we have a little bit of stuff to catch up on. Nintendo, Nintendo, Nintendo. There's a lot of Nintendo announcements, and you know Loki's a big fan, so he's going to be giving you his thoughts on that. Big stuff going on in the Xbox world, too, with Halo, so we got to talk about what's new in the Halo franchise. I'm sure many of you have heard, but there's an interesting kind of conflict. It's not what you'd think. Lastly, we can't leave anybody out. Sony apparently has a big Battle Royale, their name, not ours, coming out soon. It looks like earlier rumors may be true if some recent domain registries are to be believed. So Fanwank galore coming up next.
Excellent. Orange Lounge Radio is up next, but right now it is 6 p.m. on the West Coast, 9 p.m. on the East Coast. And I want to say hello to all the OLR listeners that are coming in for OLR. I'm Bobby Blackwolf. I'm typically the opening act here on Sunday nights. We typically don't talk meta that much about where we broadcast all that often. We feel that those type of conversations are best kept off the airwaves and in private, but indulge us for a few moments as we discuss some things here. All Games Radio has been our home for a long time. I was actually the first broadcast on the network here almost 7 years ago. And OLR was actually our first affiliate to have a pre-recorded show, and then eventually I was able to get them to move over to be broadcasting here on All Games. We've had a lot of great experiences here with this network, from E3 Outpost to the Xbox Live Gamer Picks to PAX 08 and E4ALL and the live broadcast. Lots of great things have happened that I know I personally will cherish for the rest of my life. And even though I was removed as station manager and site admin several years ago, I've enjoyed the community and the stage that has been here. It's been my home for 1 hour a week here on Sunday nights. There are changes coming to All Games Radio, and they're changes I don't personally endorse. They're not necessarily bad, but they're not ones I personally want to be a part of. And one of the other show hosts here on the network stated that if all you wanted to do was just have a stage to do your own show and not attempt to help move forward to make the network a better place, then you needed to get out of the way. So even though I don't personally endorse the proposed changes, I don't wish to stand in the way of them. So tonight, right now, I'm announcing that this right here is my final broadcast on All Games Radio.
Well, this might be a good time to mention that there is a reason we haven't hung up just yet. You know, Orange Lounge Radio started as its own fully fleshed radio station in 2002 on Live 365. And after 5 years, we made a business decision in light of escalating costs to move to the All Games Network. This arrangement, you know, as Bobby mentioned, it was really initiated and championed for by Bobby. We've been absolutely honored to have Bobby, as he puts it in his words, as an opening act for the past 5 years. We view it a little differently. But without Bobby's efforts, it's very possible that OLR, as we know it, would have ended several years ago. You know, change to All Games Radio is going to be a great thing for the station, but it's time to let you all know that a plan was drafted some time ago that will require us, in order to take Orange Lounge Radio to the next level, to leave the network as well. Tonight's upcoming episode, episode number 454, will be the last Orange Lounge Radio on the All Games Network. We've been fierce supporters of independent podcasting and podcasters, and this is not and will not change. We remain supporters and fans of the All Games Network, even though the future for Orange Lounge Radio will involve our show being elsewhere. Out of respect to the other hosts and community at All Games Radio, we will not be unveiling those plans here on their bandwidth. Stay tuned. You know where to find us. Yes, the show will go on next week, and yes, Bobby is still the co-headliner.
On my way out, there are a couple people I do want to thank. First off, being Orange Lounge Radio, they were my inspiration to start podcasting. They were, I don't know if they were exactly the first podcast I downloaded, but they were the first one I listened to religiously back in the to-go days. It's been a great joy to be able to help them be a part of this community. I remember being so scared emailing them the first time. And then now, you know, I get to talk to them every single week, pretty much. And, you know, I got to go to Disneyland with them and hang out with them. And it's, you know, it's been an honor to work with them. And I look forward to what we're going to be working towards here in the future. The community here at All Games. You know, we've had some good days and we've had some bad days. People that are probably in the community more often than just Sunday nights know what I'm talking about. But ultimately, I will remember a lot of the good stuff. The hardest part of this is that I will probably be leaving the chat room where I've idled for almost a decade sometime this week, and it's going to be kind of hard to say goodbye to that, but sometimes it's time to move on. Tiger Claw, you guys probably don't realize this. If it was not for Tiger Claw, this stage that we have been on probably would have collapsed a year ago. He is the man that has been keeping the light on for the rest of us, and you know, because he's been kind of acting as station manager, and he has championed bringing in other people, other podcasts to the community, and you know, I'm sure that he's going to help keep the light on for much, much longer. And so, thank you very much to Tiger Claw for everything. And also, lastly, Scott Rubin. And while Scott and I did not see eye to eye on everything. And, you know, I might have actually felt that there were some unfair characterizations made of me back on the All Games Interactive days. Off the air, he has been very supportive of me and wanted me to succeed in everything that I wanted to accomplish. I am here to do this tonight because of him, because of his advice, because of his support. Without Scott Rubin, there would be no Bobby Black Wolf, literally, as in he actually picked out that name. I didn't come up with that name. Scott did. Just as Scott has moved on from All Games, he's doing high-profile live streams for mainstream TV networks. It is time for me to move on from All Games, but I thank Scott for every single opportunity that he has given me.
All right, so we want to thank some people, too, but our lists are probably very similar. First, Bobby Blackwolf, obviously, for all the obvious things we've already stated. The other hosts at All Games Radio that work their asses off to produce quality content for this network and promote the independent gaming community. I personally have loved meeting all of you at the various events, the PAXs, the E3s, the Outpost, so on. Unfortunately, not every show is really in the All Games Network to promote the community, but I'm not going to dwell on that. There's a lot that are very passionate about it. You've been noticed, you've been appreciated, and I hope we can work with you in the future. Although we don't want to name everyone specifically for fear of leaving someone out, if there's one host we need to tip our hat to besides Bobby, it's our own personal podfather and the man that taught us a lot about internet radio, Travis Donovan. Specifically to the OL Army, if you're hearing this, you've stuck by us through every tough decision we've made. You've supported us when we said we are no longer exclusively a Bomani show. You supported our creative decision to end the live afterbirth segment of our show because it just wasn't striking our creative spark anymore. You supported us when we left Live 365 to take our show to the next level, and we know you will support us as we leave All Games Radio to take it to Stage 3. And I think this is a good time to reiterate, we will be back next week, and you will be able to listen to us just as easy as you do now. But out of respect towards the network, we're keeping that under our hat as to exactly how that's going to happen for a few more days. Tiger Claw gets our thanks as well. All Games would not be able to function right now without Tiger Claw. He's passionate about this network, and every host on this network owes you a lot of thanks. Of course, Scott Rubin, although certainly we've mentioned Bobby a bit in how we ended up at All Games, Scott was a crucial piece of this as well. Although we give the mainstream gaming press a lot of shit on this show, Scott is someone who lived it, left it, and built an online network that fit in his independent vision, and we all have so much respect for that. So I know I've been monopolizing the conversation. This is like the first time in probably 5 years I've read from a script. But I want to allow Dark Soccer and Loki, because they're OLRs just as much as me, say anything they want to say about this as well.
I'd like to thank myself for being awesome. No, really, you said everything that I could say. Mm-hmm. And Jesus has nothing to do with this.
Thank you for letting us know. Loki, anything?
And I will still not be updating the radio app on PSP.
OLRPSP.com will still stay out of date. That's some things shouldn't change. Some things have to stay the same. Bobby, it's all you.
Well, I think that this is the part where I'll be letting you guys go. I had to write my stuff to a script, too. So any last words here before I send everybody off?
Don't cry. That goes for you, and it goes for the listeners. It ain't over. We still have a show left. Stay tuned. We're still having a show tonight. I know this is shocking. But this is how you have to start the future. And good luck to everybody. And I really, really wish All Games the best of luck. And thank you so much for having us for the past 5 years. Good luck.
All right. Orange Lounge Radio is up next. Thanks so much, guys. So, yeah. That's, this is going to be it here on All Games. I'm still doing the show, so if you're listening to the podcast feed, hopefully it's been updated by now. I should still be doing a show. We're just not going to say where right now, out of respect for All Games Radio. There's a lot of people here that want to keep All Games going, and I don't want to stand in the way of that, and this is probably the easiest for everybody. But I'll be around, and I hope to see some of you if you guys can make it. You can still contact me. My phone number is still going to work, 1-888-36-GAME-1. Or I'm on Facebook, Bobby Blackwolf. Twitter is Bobby Blackwolf. That's where you're going to be able to see where I'm going to be next week. Or my website, BobbyBlackwolf.com. And, you know, if you like this show, tell a friend. If you hate this show, tell an enemy. I don't care. Just tell someone. We're going to be doing a new start. And I'm going to need all the friends I can get. Preferably not enemies. But the live show, I want to thank everybody who's here for the final show here on All Games Radio. This is the final chat read from allgames.com. Thank you very much, DC Nate, Derek H, GK128, The Rob D, Tiger Claw, Burning Paper Sun, Bird, DeBlueGuy, Doomplague, Fifth Dream, Havoc978, Hecht, Kitsune, Sully907, ActDeft, AlfKananagram, Anomalous Underdog, Ash Westar, Asmodeus, Buchikawa, Brad from Pod Culture, Breakman, Card Freak, Cedabria, D5T, DJ Dark Knight, Dungeon Buster, Eric K, SG, Eswat, Game Guru, Blender, Jim Sally, Kaijudo, Kazan, Nuxonic, Loserly, Mako, Matt Cube, Melted General, MXT, Necromoss, Niche, Raginator, Ranma, Shax, Sean, Six, Sky, SSJ100 Matt, SubZ, TDB30, Tedekin, and THK. So next week, we'll be back somewhere, and you'll be able to be with us then. But good luck to everybody here at All Games Radio. It has been a wonderful almost 7 years here. And nobody cry, because this is really a beginning. Good night, All Games. Thank you.